Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, November 13th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, report, Obama could announce executive immigration action as early as next week. Then, a survivor of the USS Ronald Reagan speaks on his Fukushima experience and what ISIS trading in gold means for you. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, whatever happened to the rule of law? Whatever happened to equal protection under the law? We see that next week we're going to have immigration amnesty granted by executive fiat by President Obama, but he's not the only one doing this. We're going to look at several cases of it, but let's first look at what Obama is going to do. A source from Fox News is reporting that Obama is going to announce a 10-point immigration plan via executive action as early as next week. They say that it's going to suspend deportations for millions of people. Now, the plan calls for expanding deferred action for illegal immigrants. Now, there's nothing really deferred about it because they're not planning on taking any action ever. But it's going to expand deferred action for children as well as extend it to their relatives who are here, the anchor baby issue. They also report that DHS is planning to promote a new naturalization process, giving a 50% discount on the first 10,000 applicants who come forward. That's right. Now, notice that they're not going to give that exemption, that discount, to people who have income levels above 200% of the poverty line. That's because in America, unlike every other country, unlike Mexico, unlike even Belize, we don't want people becoming citizens here to have a means of income or a means of support, have savings or income that they can rely on. We want to bring in the poorest of the people so that we can put them on the welfare rolls. That's called Cloward and Piven. That's the strategy that's behind this. But of course, it's also about rewarding those that he believes he can benefit from, those undocumented Democrats. Bring in about 5 million people. That should help them win the next election, of course. And they also report that they're going to extend technology jobs through an immigrant visa program that would offer another 500,000 immigrants a path to citizenship, including their spouses. That's right. We don't need to worry about providing jobs to Americans. We need to bring in engineers and technical positions from outside of the country. And then finally, there's a lot of people who are begging the president to go big. That's a quote from Juan Vargas, a Democrat from California. It looks like we no longer have to worry about a lame duck president. He's going to have a lot to do with executive orders. That lame duck issue was when we still had a legislature that wasn't a useless appendage. But it's not just the president, of course. We see privilege being extended by the Arkansas governor, who is going to pardon his son on drug charges. That's right. His son was arrested and charged with felony drug charges more than a decade ago. They then put him on supervised probation. They charged him with possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver, but he got 3 years supervised probation. Now his daddy is going to give him a pardon. It's interesting to note that just this last summer, a signature petition effort to try to get medical marijuana on the ballot in Arkansas failed. So if you want marijuana for medical purposes, they'll throw you in jail. I don't see the governor granting pardons to people who have been put into jail for nonviolent use of medical marijuana. But if you're connected, you can get a pardon. Just like if you've got a political connection to Obama, you can get a pardon if you're here illegally. We also see in New York, we've got the cannibal cop who is now looks like he's going to be sentenced to time served. They're going to change it over to a misdemeanor charge. This is someone, if you're not familiar with the case, a former New York City police officer whose bizarre online exchanges about kidnapping and eating women landed him behind bars and earned him tabloid infamy as the cannibal cop. Now, he faced a possible life term for kidnapping conspiracy. This is someone who essentially used his position as a police officer to look up information about women and then troll them and threaten them that he was going to essentially torture, kill them, and eat them. Now, if this was somebody doing this as part of an FBI scam where the FBI went to someone and cooked up some kind of a terrorist scam so they could look good and then turn them in, broke up the false flag that they had essentially started, those people would be looking at a very stiff jail sentence. But this guy basically says, well, I really wasn't going to do anything about it. Really? it's still a conspiracy. He was still conspiring to do it. He still got the information. He still followed them. He gets a free pass because he's connected. Just as we saw this story yesterday that Jakari Jackson covered on the nightly news last night, the Afghanistan opium harvest at record high as NATO withdraws, it has nothing to do with NATO withdrawing. It has everything to do with NATO being there. They're going to come after those who aren't their drug partners, but those who are, they're going to assist them. Remember that in Afghanistan, before we went there, they only had 10% of the world's supply. After we were there for a few years, 90%, and every year is a record crop. It has nothing to do with NATO leaving. Now, later in the program, we're going to be joined with Ted Anderson of Midas Resources, and we're going to talk to him about gold because, as you might remember, a few days ago, we had a clip surface from Alan Greenspan, former Federal Reserve chairman, talking to the Council on Foreign Relations about how important he thought gold was. Now, today we have the story from Kurt Nimmo, how to demonize gold, make it the preferred ISIS method of exchange. He points out the fiat money system hates gold, except in private, as we'll see. Banksters love the faith and fraud-based ability of paper and never tire of dissing currencies based on physical commodities such as gold or silver. Now we see that ISIS is saying that that's what they're going to base their currency on, not a paper currency. They're not going to get tied into the West banking system, but they're going to be independent of it with gold. Exactly what Alan Greenspan is saying. So we're going to have his comments analyzed by Ted Anderson of Midas Resources. We're also going to look at the movement in about 17 days. The Swiss are going to be voting on whether or not they want to go back to having gold back the Swiss franc. And there's also some interesting developments in Oklahoma. So stay with us right after the break. We're going to have that interview as well as some more reports. We'll be right back.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, it's been 3.5 years since Fukushima. And of course, we're told there's nothing to worry about. Move along. There's nothing to see here. It's not going to affect anybody's health. Well, joining us today is Steve Simmons. He was a retired lieutenant. He served with U.S. Navy for 17 years. And he and a lot of other soldiers who were in the area as that happened are living proof that there is something to be concerned about at Fukushima. Thank you so much for joining us today, Steve.
Thank you.
Let's talk first about what your mission was there. Now, you were on the USS Reagan, but there were a lot of other ships that were there. I think it's about 25 in total. Was that correct?
Yeah, you know, I honestly don't know the accurate numbers of what ships were there in the area.
Now, what were you guys supposed to do as this nuclear reactor is having problems and suffering coolant issues and everything? What were you supposed to do there?
The Reagan's, actually everybody's responsibility as far as the Navy was concerned, was solely humanitarian. Mm-hmm. The Reagan, we were already on a scheduled deployment, so we were further south getting ready to participate in an exercise when we got the word of the earthquake and tsunami on the 11th of March that damaged the Fukushima plant. Mm-hmm. And on the 12th of March, we arrived on station off the coast of Japan to start providing humanitarian assistance to all the displaced citizens of Japan.
Okay. So you were there primarily not to do something about the nuclear reactor.
No, not at
all.
You
were there to help people as a result of the storm and the, well, the earthquake, actually, that had happened. That
Absolutely.
Created this. Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're there deployed to help people in Japan, and yet nobody is advising the military about the problems that are going on at Fukushima. Is that correct?
I'm sure the information was getting out. I just don't think that it was accurate information. Mm-hmm. The location that we were operating in, at one point we had actually sat in a nuclear plume for over 5 hours, mm-hmm. and we had to secure Wow. we had to secure the ventilation. We had to secure the water because contaminants had got sucked up into the water system.
And what does that mean when you get the water when it gets sucked up into the water system? How does that affect the sailors that are on the ships?
Everything that happens on the carrier that involves water is straight seawater. Mm-hmm. I should rephrase. Not everything is straight seawater, but everything is seawater in the aspect of that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. Some of it gets filtered, the stuff that's going off to the water fountains, the soda machines, that kind of stuff is all filtered. And then you have the other things such as your plumbing, your toilets and stuff like that. That is straight seawater. The water that's used to wash aircraft, wash the flight deck, that's seawater. Mm-hmm. So if the contaminants are in the water, then you're going to be susceptible to ingestion of that.
Okay. All right. So you've got water that's being used, that's drawn up out of the sea, that's contaminated. You're also getting contamination from the air. And how long did this go on? How long were you there?
Now, the Reagan was on station for just about 30 days.
Wow. Okay. All right. So when did you come back and when did you start to notice symptoms?
The Reagan finished up deployment in September of 2011.
About 6 months.
Mm-hmm. We were on a 7-month deployment. Mm-hmm. We left in February. Mm-hmm. So we arrived back in the States the beginning of September, and that's when I actually transferred from the ship. I transferred out to D.C., Mm-hmm. I was starting a new job, working there in Arlington, and it was the latter part of November is when I started feeling symptoms. I wasn't sure what was going on. The first thing that happened, I was driving to work. Anybody who's familiar with that Arlington area, I was driving down Route 50 heading into work, and I had just passed through a stoplight, and the next thing I know, I'm driving my truck up on a curb. So I briefly blacked out. I wasn't sure what was going on. I started to feel, honestly, I thought it was kind of a flu, maybe a flu virus or stomach bugs or something going on. Mm-hmm. Figured a few days it would be gone. After I finally got to work, I called my wife and explained to her what happened. She called my doctor there out in Fairfax and scheduled me an appointment. They ran a bunch of labs, some minor abnormalities, but nothing that could lead them in any direction. So eventually they sent me off to the infectious disease clinic up at Walter Reed. And kind of the same thing there, bunch of labs, really nothing coming back. That would give them an indication of what was going on.
Did you tell any of these people that you had been at Fukushima?
I did. In fact, it was by January, so this was November, end of November into December, and then by January, I was actually admitted for the first time into Walter Reed. I was having uncontrollable fevers, severe night sweats. I had dropped initially between 20 to 25 pounds.
Wow.
Some of that I managed to get back, but I still struggle with that today to keep it. And so during my first hospitalization, I told the intern about the deployment and about being on station and sitting in a nuclear plume for over 5 hours, and that maybe there was a connection. Up until that point, I had been healthy. I've had some orthopedic issues, but who wouldn't after a lifetime of sports? Mm-hmm. So, I'd been healthy the summer before. I was in Hawaii. So summer of 2010, I was doing trail runs in Hawaii, hiking Diamond Head, the following day hiking Stairway to Heaven. Wow. Which is a strenuous hike in itself.
Yeah.
And even during the deployment, I was doing P90X and Insanity workouts, and sometimes I would do a hybrid between the two workouts. So I wasn't wanted to shy away from strenuous activity or anything like that. And then, of course, I tried to get on a golf course as much as possible. So when I finally brought it up in January to the intern, the first thing he said to me, he blew it off right away. He immediately said, well, if this was radiation, you should have seen symptoms long before this. This is less than 1 year after the incident occurred. And I'd already been frustrated at that point. So my initial response back to this intern was, I'm not a doctor, but you should go back to med school because you obviously know nothing about radiation. You know, look at history, look at what happened with Chernobyl, look at all the individuals and patients who had developed cancer 20, 30 years after Chernobyl happened. And you're going to sit here and tell me that I should have seen symptoms long before 1 year.
And the timing is going to be dose dependent, of course.
Absolutely. And it's also going to be dependent on the individual's genome. You know, everybody's going to react differently to the radiation exposure. Some people may never see a symptom. And God bless them if they don't. Some people may see symptoms 20 years from now or 30 years from now. Unfortunately, we've already had a sailor from the Reagan who was assigned to one of the squadrons in the air wing who passed away this past April. And he was in his 30s. And he developed a rare form of cancer that is very seldom seen in anybody below the age of 60. And he left behind his young daughter. And, you know, at this point, everybody still fights to get acknowledgement that radiation was the catalyst.
So as it stands right now, you're not really getting any acknowledgement from the VA. They're not going to tie this to your time there. They're treating the symptoms, but they're not going to talk about it being tied in any way to radiation exposure.
At this point, nobody is making the connection, whether they don't want to, whether they're afraid, whether they're reserved to make that connection because of potential backlash from the beginning. The statement has been the same since the beginning.
Now, we were talking just before the interview, and you said that when you went to one doctor, he made it very clear to you that he was not going to go towards any kind of diagnosis about it being nuclear. Is that correct? And you had other indications that there's an awareness. They certainly know what the situation is, and they just don't want to even talk about it. Is that correct? Or?
There's plenty of awareness out there about this. When I first got to the VA, one of the doctors I had seen, aside from getting past the introduction of who we were, one of the first things that was said to me was, I can't tie this to radiation, so don't bother to ask.
His mind's already made up.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
And
he's gotten a memo or something.
I feel like that, but you know, I feel that's the case. I feel like there's something circulating, whether a memo, whether it's...
Isn't that interesting that you go to a doctor and he would tell you right off the bat...
Correct.
Okay, I can look at you, but I'm telling you right now, I can't go in this direction. I can't tie it to a particular thing. They've already got a preconceived notion about where they're going to be allowed to go and where they're not going to be allowed to go.
Correct. And you know, one of the other doctors I had seen during the course of the last 3 years and diagnostics and trying to figure out exactly what's been going on, I had brought up, again, the radiation, and I've brought up the fact that there's one condition that just about all of my symptoms fit into, which is chronic radiation syndrome. And the doctor responded with, we don't want to go that way because we want to look for something that we can treat. I understand that. You know, I understand that doctors want to find something that they can treat, but at the same time, everybody else needs closure. Everybody else needs to know what we're dealing with, why we're, you know, why are...
Well, I guess the thing that concerns all of us is so many times we see this, whether it is your particular incident or just the general health effects of Fukushima as it works its, you know, the radiation works its way through the environment. The fact that they want to downplay the health risks of that, the fact that they want to downplay the health risks of vaccines or of fluoride, things that certainly something could be done about it. They continue to put those in, of course, you know, with the radiation, to inform people of what the risks are, let people take their own precautions, and yet they want to pretend that it doesn't exist. And they would rather just treat the symptoms, treat the cancer, rather than addressing the root cause of the cancer, where it could help somebody. That's what we see over and over again.
Correct. And it's rather frustrating. You know, it's frustrating to myself. It's frustrating to everybody else who's now suffering. You know, there are individuals out there who are in very similar situations to myself, where they just start having this progressive muscle weakness that starts in their legs and starts to ascend. There's individuals out there who have developed different forms of cancer, leukemia, children of service members now born with birth defects because of their service over there. And I guess my frustration with it is my situation is different than theirs. And when I say it's different than theirs, I did just about 17 years in the Navy. I had the honor to do that with pride. And I also had the honor to be able to retire, though medically not the way I wanted to go out the door. I wanted to be able to do 30 plus years in the service. A lot of these other individuals who are suffering, they didn't have that privilege. They didn't have that time to do. They did, some of them, 3 years, 4, 5, or 6, and they didn't get the honor and privilege to get a medical retirement. They've gone out the door with nothing. No medical retirement, no benefits, so no health insurance. Some of them trying to fight the system to get recognition that there's something wrong. And all too often, each and every one of us have run into doctors at some point who try to play it off as there's nothing physically wrong with any of us, mm-hmm. and that it's all psychological. Mm-hmm. I went through it. A friend of mine is going through it now. A friend of mine has even been escorted out of a clinic by security because they told him he was faking.
Wow.
And that is not how you treat a patient. That is not, and he is what?
Is that a VA clinic?
No. Oh. That is actually a military facility. Hmm. In fact, he had one doctor who told him, because his situation is very similar to mine, and he got to the point where he was trying to ambulate using forearm crutches, but it was just taking its toll on him. And so he had a doctor who recommended that it's time for him to move to a wheelchair and preferably a power chair to save his joints, save his shoulders. And when he went to get fitted for a chair, there was another physician in that clinic who didn't see eye to eye on things. And she made it a point, this doctor made it a point to say, you don't need a chair, you're faking, and you need to leave, and then called security and had him escorted out of there.
Wow.
I don't know what's going on. I don't care who the doctor is.
Yeah.
But at what point can there be something said or done that would make a doctor go against a Hippocratic oath that they took?
Yes.
Not to cause further harm to a patient.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it happens every day.
Wow.
My friend has also had other doctors who have told him that they've made a conscience decision not to align themselves with the doctors who are trying to convince everybody that it's all psychological.
Hmm.
So I'm smart enough to read between those lines.
Yeah.
And everybody else is smart enough to read between the lines that says there has been something said at some point by somebody mm-hmm. that either A, we need to just make this go away, or B, we need to keep this out of the press, keep this out of the limelight.
Yeah. Well, we see that all the time. We just have these revelations that just came out this week of Gruber, who worked on Obamacare, talking about how they portrayed it as this, they portrayed it as that. They didn't want to have any transparency because they wanted to fool the American people. It's gotten to the point where every time we interact as a media organization, or we see people like you interacting with the government, no matter where it is, there's always this idea that they're not going to be honest and forthright, candid with the American people. They've got their private agenda. They've worked it out in a private meeting, and they're going to lie to the public or do whatever they need to forward what they think needs to be done or what they think is in their best interest. I don't really understand why they would not treat sailors who have been affected like this.
You know, and the frustrating piece about it is, you know, at no point has anybody ever come out, myself included, or anybody else that I know that's suffering, you know, we've never come out and said, this is the fault of the U.S. Navy or this is the fault of the U.S. government. We've never done that. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody that was there, we were all there for a humanitarian mission. We all knew that. And whether we knew the full severity of what was going on with the reactors melting down. Because I would honestly have to think that if the right information was known at the critical moment where decisions have to be made of where to place the ships who are providing supplies to the shore, if we had accurate information, I think decisions would have been made differently.
So that's why you're suing TEPCO.
That's why
the group is suing. And about how many sailors and Marines are there involved in this lawsuit? Do you have any idea?
The last number I heard was 230, 240, roughly, at this point, who have already come forward, who are suffering from illness, whether it's the service member directly or a family member doing it for them, or in the one case of the individual who's since passed, the administrator of his estate is part of the suit.
So now this is about a $1 billion lawsuit, is that correct, at the current time? And is this working its way through the American courts? Does it have to go to the Japanese courts?
It is U.S. court. Just recently there was a ruling down in San Diego, where it is going to allow the hearing to the court case to continue to proceed forward. Tokyo Electric had made a motion, their attorneys had made a motion to either dismiss the case completely, dismiss with prejudice, meaning we could never bring it up again, or to move it to Japan. And the attorneys who are handling the case, as of right now, they've been doing this. They're the ones that have been biting the bullet. They're the ones who've been doing this out of their pockets at this point. And, you know, they made a good argument. They made it a strong argument to get the judge to understand that if she dismisses the case with prejudice as TEPCO wanted and their attorneys wanted, our voice is gone. Because at that point, we would have to go through appellate courts and everything else to try to continue to move this forward. And they also, the attorneys that are handling the case as well, they also made a motion to add additional defendants, such as GE, who was the original designer of the plant, who knew that there was faulty equipment going into the plant when constructed.
And along those lines, a former head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission said after Fukushima, he said, we ought to shut down every single nuclear reactor in the United States because they have that same inherent design flaw that could possibly cause this to happen. So it is something that they have, it's a massive cover-up of both the reactor design as well as what was going on there, as well as the aftermath, because we've seen people, notably the man who was in charge of the cleanup, has died, and of course they said had nothing to do with that. Yeah, I think it was a cancer that he died from.
And so there's also been a report that surfaced, I don't remember how long ago, there was a report that surfaced talking about the increase of thyroid cancers within young children in and around the Fukushima area. So there's obviously a problem.
We're nearly out of time, but just before we leave, I was just curious when you mentioned the thyroid cancer. Did they do anything on board ship to ameliorate the exposure to that you might suffer from water and other things, other than just battening down the hatches when that you were in the radiation plume?
The only thing that really happened for those who, the air crew who were flying ashore, taking the supplies from the ship to the shore, they were given KI tablets. But as far as
potassium iodide,
correct. But as far as the rest of the crew getting issued that, they didn't give it out to the rest of the crew.
Nothing at all. Wow. Well, I'm so sorry that this has happened to you. And this is just at the beginning stages of the lawsuit. I'm imagining it's it can go on for quite some time.
And it has been going on for quite some time. In fact, it was the end of 2012 when I first heard that there was anybody else sick. Up until that point, the first year before that, from the end of 11 till December of 12, I honestly thought I was the only one. And I was trying to figure out exactly what caused it. And once I found out that there were others involved and there were others sick and suffering, that's when things really started to make sense. Because up until that point, you know, with the things that the doctors would tell me and the things that they weren't telling me, you do get to the point at, you know, at some time where you're kind of questioning, well, was that the catalyst that triggered everything? You know, what else could it have been? And to know, as unfortunate as it is, that there are others suffering, at the same time, you know that you're not alone and you're not the only one going through this. And at the same time, you know, the service members who are suffering, they're not the only ones going through this. Their family members have to endure all the pains of this as well.
And well, it's very important that you speak up and speak out. So not just for the other people who are there with you with the Navy, but so that everybody really understands how truly dangerous this whole system of nuclear power is that we have. I think it is just it's incredibly dangerous. It's a heap of things that we have to look after the nuclear waste for thousands of years. How do we do that safely? And, of course, there's going to be health consequences if there's any kind of a mistake. I mean, to me, it is just you've really made a bargain with the devil to go with nuclear power. And it's something that it just, you know, I think it's important for people to see what you're suffering with, understand that somebody that's exposed to radiation, as you pointed out, isn't going to necessarily fall over and die within a couple of days unless they got massive exposure. There's an entire spectrum from a massive increase in cancers to what you're going through now, from nearly instant death. So there's that entire spectrum based on the exposure to it, but we can't ignore that exposure.
Correct. And I don't want people to think that I'm going to sit here and say that I'm anti-nuclear, because I'm really not. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if it's regulated properly, look how the Navy does it. They've had a huge success rate. They do it every day, on board ship, on board subs. It happens all the time. And it's very well controlled, very well contained. Mm-hmm. If the rest of the world or other individuals would get on board and either try to take what works from them, what doesn't work for them, and even implement that into their own plants, things may even get better. Things may change. I recall reading an article before about, I wish I knew the president's name.
I understand what you're saying. I would put myself firmly in the anti-nuclear camp because I'm concerned about the long-term disposal of the wastes. And that's
correct.
Part of what we saw happen at Fukushima.
Yep.
And then the idea that we have to have a perfect track record for thousands of years in order for this to work as well as it needs to without exposing people. That's the thing that really concerns me. But I'm so sorry for what you're going through and the others who are there. Thank you, though, for speaking out about what's going on. And hopefully the additional publicity will help you get some additional help through the VA in the meantime. And I hope that this lawsuit goes through your favor. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you can see Steve talk more about his situation and those of the other sailors who were there at Fukushima coming up tomorrow at Fukushima Solutions. You can find information about that on the web at FukushimaSolutions.com. If you're here in Austin, you can come live. We're going to have Dr. Group emceeing that along with John B. Wells. We'll have Dr. Rowan, John Rappaport, Ben Fuchs, a host of health experts from around the world. I'll even be there talking about nuclear power. So that's going to be in Austin, and you can see it on the web for the next 2 days. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with that interview with Ted Anderson, getting his comments on Alan Greenspan's love of gold that he told the CFR about privately. They cut it out initially, but then it came back. We're going to have his comments. Stay with us.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Dr. Edward Group. Today I'd like to talk about the war on women. You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Each of these ingredients works synergistically with the female body in order to maximize overall vitality. You've heard the reviews and the feedback on how the original Super Male Vitality has revitalized relationships. Now, both the man and the woman can have the revitalization in their own bodies with Super Male Vitality and Super Female Vitality. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, joining us tonight from Genesis Communications is Ted Anderson, but of course, he's also the head of Midas Resources. And so we want to talk to him tonight about gold. Welcome, Ted.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Now, there's been a lot in the news lately. Going back just to April of this year, we had the Oklahoma legislature reaffirm gold and silver as money. In other words, reaffirming our Constitution, right? But the interesting thing to me about that is that they're now not going to tax, as far as Oklahoma income tax, they're not going to tax the exchange of gold and silver because it's a currency rather than a commodity as far as they're looking at it. But there's also some other interesting breaking news that we've had. Just 5 days ago, we had some transcripts. I'm going to play a little bit of this and let you respond to it. Alan Greenspan talking to the Council on Foreign Relations about gold. And basically, he sounds like a gold bug. So we want to talk about that. But then in 7 days, actually, no, 17 days, the end of this month, there's going to be a referendum in Switzerland where they're going to vote as to whether they're going to back their currency again with gold. And I think that's a key thing we need to talk about is how they use these fiat currencies to manipulate the economy, to manipulate us just like they do with interest rates. But let's talk first about why they're demonizing gold in public and then in private they're accumulating it. Let's go to one of these clips from Greenspan. I'll let you respond to this.
Gold is a currency. It is still, by all evidences, the premier currency where no fiat currency, including the dollar, can match it.
All right, so he says it's a currency, a premier currency, and the dollar can't even match it. What do you make of that?
Well, Greenspan, of course, has been a gold bug and was when he was in college and then became sort of an elitist when he became the central bank, in charge of the central bank of the United States, the Federal Reserve Bank. But the reason why he's saying that is because we have been in this currency war with other countries. We resort to spending and inflating our currency, pushing the value of our currency down against foreign countries to try to expand on our exports and increase our economy. Of course, foreign countries have to also react to that, deflating their currency value as well. And it's this constant currency war that goes on. And so Alan Greenspan's looking at this whole game being played, and they're and he's just saying, hey, there's nothing that you can do that matches gold in these foreign countries or in the United States with the paper currencies. The reason being is because we can't maintain control of supply versus demand for products, goods, and services. The GDP doesn't go up in relationship to the expansion of currency. Therefore, the currency loses purchasing power. Greenspan says, hey, gold is a fixed supply. You can only pull so much out of the ground. It's been money for thousands of years. They found it in King Tut's tomb. They didn't find U.S. dollar in King Tut's tomb. So obviously, gold is going to be much more valuable in the future as long as these central banks keep playing games like they do.
You know, listening to this CFR presentation that Greenspan gave, he sounds like Ron Paul. He even goes back over the history of gold to some extent, goes back to World War II and talks about its intrinsic value and how you could see that at the end of World War II with Germany. Let's listen to this clip.
Intrinsic currencies like gold and silver, for example, are acceptable without a third-party guarantee. And, I mean, for example, at the end of World War II, or just at the end of it, Germany could not import goods without payment in gold. The person who shipped the goods in would accept the gold and didn't care if there's any credit standard associated with it.
All right, so that's a very important aspect of gold, that it's not somebody else's debt. It's got intrinsic value. That's what he was essentially talking about. That's why the Nazis were forced to use it, because nobody was going to take their paper money, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, if you think about it, Dave, I mean, World War II was obviously preceded by World War I, and the currency, just the Weimar Republic note, just went turned into, you know, basically toilet paper, or, you know, it was more valuable to trade a wheelbarrow than it would be a wheelbarrow full of money. When a currency loses purchasing power, gold in itself becomes more valuable. And the reason why they wouldn't take the country's currency is because the currency may not have held no value overseas or anywhere. Gold, like Greenspan says, in it itself is value. It has no attachment to anybody's debt or anybody's ability to pay. It is money.
And we've seen that. Everybody knows about the Weimar Republic as an example, people showing up with a wheelbarrow full of paper notes to buy a loaf of bread. But of course, we've seen that in many other countries, haven't we? We've seen super hyperinflation in many other countries in Africa and South America and other places, haven't we?
Precisely. And that's exactly why people need to get into gold and silver both. Silver is a much more smaller form, easier to trade for smaller items. Gold is a store of wealth that can be used portable in much larger sums of money, obviously. But yeah, indeed, if you're looking at any of these second and third world countries, and now we're even concerned about the United States, gold and silver simply makes sense.
Let's take one more quote from Greenspan. I want to get your response to that.
Why do central banks put money into an asset which has no rate of return, but cost of storage and insurance and everything else like that? Why are they doing that? If you look at the data, with a very few exceptions, all of the developed countries have gold reserves. Why?
So basically, he's asking the same questions that an individual investor would ask. If there's no rate of return on the gold, if I have to pay to store it, if I have to pay to insure it, why would I do it? And yet, all of the central banks in the developing countries are doing that. Why are the people in the know doing that, even though they're not seeing a rate of return on it, per se?
Well, first of all, you have to ask yourself a question, why do I need a rate of return? And the reason is because if I hold my money in paper currency, I know I'm going to lose through inflation. Mm-hmm. Someday in the future, I'll have to pay more for goods than I have to today. So just to keep up, I have to have a rate of return. With precious metals being a commodity, it simply rises along with all the rest of the commodities. If I have to pay more for oil, chances are I'm going to have to pay more for gold, because it's not so much that oil and gold is going up in value, it's the value of the currency that's dropping. So we need to have a rate of return. And then you're talking about why do countries hold stockpiles and reserves of gold and silver? Because of the fact that it is money, and it means money more than their currency means money. And they can see the wars that are going on. When they know that they have to devaluate their currency in order to keep up with the country across the street, so to speak, in competition with their products that they're producing, they need to have something that's real solid that they can fall back on. Countries trade with each other with gold. Individuals trade with each other with currency. I don't know why we've been sold this bill of goods and why we accept it, mm-hmm. but this is how it happens.
Now, one of the things I want to go to is this change in the Oklahoma bill that's been passed, the change in the way they're going to treat gold in terms of right now. And to put it in an analogy, if you sell your home after a number of years, let's say that you're in a home for 20, 30 years and you sell that home, it's going to have a paper value, a value in American dollars. It's going to be maybe 10, 20 times as much as it was when you got it. And yet we know that it hasn't really gone up in value that much. What you're just seeing is it's valuation in terms of paper money. And so when they're taxing you and you exchange gold at this time, what they're doing is they're kind of taxing you on how they're manipulating the fiat currency, aren't they? But that's going to change in Oklahoma. Talk about that, how that's going to change
Sure.
for Oklahoma investors. Maybe other people can do that in their states.
Well, this is very similar to what Kurt Bills put a bill through in Minnesota, which did not pass, but Oklahoma's adopting this. And we also seen the same thing in Utah. It's more about, if we're trading currency amongst each other, we don't charge a sales tax. If I give you a dollar, you don't have to pay sales tax on that dollar. The sales tax on gold, you do have to pay in many of the states right now. So one of the ways to get around having to charge sales tax for a purchase of gold and silver is if the state itself remonetizes the gold. And now when they call it currency, you no longer have a sales tax involved. And so several of the states in the United States have gotten away from charging sales tax because they look at the purchase of a gold and silver coin as an investment rather than a consumable, if mm-hmm. you will. Mm-hmm. You're buying it for later resale. That's typically why you don't charge sales tax, because you're looking to resell it in the future. In this particular case, Oklahoma is looking at getting more towards purchasing gold and silver without having to charge sales tax, because so many people have to go outside of the state to buy the gold and silver. Happens in Minnesota. Texas happens to be a place where you can buy gold and silver without having sales tax to a certain degree after you overreach a certain amount. California was one of the very first states to adopt this policy. But to remonetize is a great way to say it, because gold and silver is money. There's no reason in the world why there should be sales tax associated with the purchase of gold and silver.
And this is actually going to extend to the Oklahoma income tax, the taxable income portion of it. Just like we were talking about before, if you bought a house in the 70s and the median price of a house was maybe $20,000 and you sell it today at $200,000, that's just a reflection of the loss of purchasing power of the paper money. It doesn't mean that you've had an appreciation of $180,000. We're seeing that with gold and silver all the time as well. Hopefully there's going to be some bills passed in multiple states that are going to do this. I know they're trying to work one through in Arizona. It passed the House, but it hasn't cleared the Senate yet. One last question. Let's take a look at what's going to happen 17 days from now in Switzerland. It looks like they're going to go back and perhaps they want to get gold repatriated. They want their Swiss bank to hold it, not foreign banks. We've seen that movement in several different countries now. Germany has done the same thing. But the Swiss also want to take it one step further. Up until 2000, they used to have gold backing their currency up to 40%. They want to at least get back to half of that, to 20%. So it's going to be interesting to see that referendum. What do you think? It seems like the Swiss people are awake.
Well, and obviously the Swiss are very conservative, mm-hmm. but the reason why they want to get back to gold is because of the fact that their currency is going to become much more stronger than all the countries around them. And the Swiss have always been a country that has been solid, fiscally responsible. They're watching all these countries around them fall apart. They don't want that to happen to them. They back the currency with gold. All of a sudden, people want the Swiss currency rather than the euro or something else.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's really been interesting. It's going to be interesting to see as people are waking up, and we have even former chairs of the Federal Reserve talking about how there's nothing else quite like gold.
Well, it certainly tells you that you should be getting into gold if Alan Greenspan, the chair of the Federal Reserve system, is doing it. So that's right.
He's accumulating it, so that's a pretty good recommendation. Well, that's it for tonight. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel. And if you're not a subscriber to Prison Planet TV, please consider that, supporting our operation. You'll be able to share that with 11 people. They can watch the news as it's happening each night, and you'll have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries. We'll be back Monday through Friday, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
It is now mainstream news that disease rates in this country and around the world are absolutely skyrocketing, specifically with mental illness. And reports have shown that about 50% of all of us are going to be diagnosed with a mental illness some point in our lives. And what that means is Big Pharma is making money. But specifically, there is a root cause for all of this mental illness. And we're going to talk about what no one has talked about before. The studies are out there. We can do the research for ourselves and find out about it. But the mainstream has not yet correlated this key link to why you're losing gut bacteria and how that is literally driving you insane. And there's no reason why the mainstream media isn't reporting on it, but it's been found now how the government-approved system, the big agricultural system, the biotech industry, is literally making you insane. And we're going to talk about how to reverse it. So I'm here with Dr. Group, who's been looking at this issue for over 20 years, and we're going to talk about it specifically and what you can do to reverse these effects. Dr. Group, let's talk about gut bacteria, Roundup, GMOs, and what's going on. So let's talk specifically about the role of gut bacteria first and foremost.
The role of gut bacteria is probably the most important part in the human body. If you look at the soil is composed of bacteria that produce different types of nutrients and vitamins. It's composed of worms in a perfect scenario. There's a symbiotic relationship between the earth and the body. You know, the body is 90% water. The earth is 90% water. And the earth contains nutrients and minerals. The body contains nutrients and minerals. So what's really happening when you look at all the diseases today is you have to take it even a step further and look at where is the food coming from? Whether it's, if you're eating meat and it's coming from animals, what do they eat? Well, they eat from the ground, supposedly. But when you have genetically modified crops and you're feeding animals, pumping them full of antibiotics and you're feeding them non-natural things and they're not allowed to eat from the earth, that becomes a whole different scenario. So getting back to the gut bacteria and how important it is, first you have to look at the soil content. Right now we have excessive air pollution and toxins, mercury, aluminum in the air. We have acid rains coming down onto the soil. So the soil is dying. And if the soil dies, the probiotics in the soil, then they're ultimately not going to get in the animals which people eat, and they're not going to get into the fruits and the vegetables and the nuts and the seeds and all the grains that people end up consuming. Not only that, but people are washing their vegetables, washing the meat, everything to kill the natural probiotics. So if you have an organic garden, if you have the proper soil probiotics, then you're going to have the proper nutrients in your system. But if you consume excess coffee, if you consume excess alcohol, you eat excess meat, which is acidic, you're taking in genetically modified foods, you're taking in acidic beverages, energy drinks, different types of artificial drinks, artificial sweeteners, MSG, microwaved food, cooked food that's contaminated, then ultimately what you're doing is you're killing off the soil in your body, which lines your intestinal tract, just like the soil of the earth lines the earth. So the same thing is actually happening in the human body right now. And if you take that away, then you're going to get holes in your intestinal lining, leaky gut syndrome, and you're going to start getting all these things absorbed into the system. You're going to be nutrient deficient, ultimately leading to one of the many disease processes that we're facing today.
So it's a two-step process, and that's what's really important to understand. First, they're depleting the soil, depleting the crops of probiotic bacteria because they're not tilling it properly. They're destroying it overall. But really what I think it is Monsanto's Roundup, the glyphosate. Because if you think about it, glyphosate is patented and registered as an antibiotic. And that's the key. It's really a two-step process because they're depleting the soil of the probiotic bacteria that we need. They're depleting it in all of the crops. And specifically, they're not tilling the fields and all that stuff. They're not letting it rest and everything that we've been doing for thousands of years. But I think the number one key is Monsanto's Roundup with glyphosate in it. Because if you look at the patent, Monsanto owns the patent for glyphosate, which is used in Roundup. It's actually registered as, sure, an herbicide, but also mainly an antibiotic. And what do antibiotics do? They kill beneficial bacteria. So it's a two-step process. And then you're eating crops which are sprayed with Roundup. So you're eating antibiotics all the time. And then you're drinking the alcohol. Then you're taking the genuine pharmaceutical antibiotics. And what all this is doing, it's in a culmination. You know, isn't it just a culmination of a biological attack on your body? And I just want to reference one key piece, one study I want everyone to look up. The piece from UCLA, changing gut bacteria through diet affects brain function, UCLA study shows. This is from May 28, 2013. And I know we talked a long time ago. You've known this since, I guess, the 80s or 90s. You've already known this for a long time. But now the UCLA is actually looking into it. And it says UCLA researchers now have the first evidence that bacteria ingested in food can affect brain function in humans. The first evidence. Yeah, right. It's been known for a long time. An early proof-of-concept study of healthy women, they found that women who regularly consumed beneficial bacteria known as probiotics through yogurt showed altered brain function, both while in a resting state and in response to an emotional task. So what's going on is these women in the study who have beneficial probiotic bacteria in their guts are responding to things differently at a base level. But then once they get really depleted, In response to the task, these women had a decrease in the engagement of widespread network in the brain that includes emotion, cognition, and sensory-related areas. The women in the other two groups showed a stable or increased activity. So without the beneficial gut bacteria, your brain is sending signals throughout your gut and your body, and they're not working properly. Literally, and you can look at Science Daily too, you're causing mental illness when you don't have a proper gut flora relationship. Isn't that true? And that's why everyone, I believe, is seeing increased rates of mental illness, because they're destroying their bodies with every single thing they're doing on a daily basis and the Roundup. And then Monsanto's sitting back calling us quacks.
You're exactly right. And I've been studying gut health for years and years and years. And every time I try to go into a different direction, it always brings me back to gut health.
And
whether you study fluoride,
long, right?
Whether you study GMOs, whether you study gluten, mineral deficiency, vitamin deficiency, it doesn't matter. Every single negative health complaint or symptom or disease, including cancer, you can track back to gut health. That's why it's so important that people take care of their gut health and eliminate the toxins in their life. Breathe clean air, drink clean water. Another thing that the gut needs a lot of is clean water, and people are not putting that amount into their system. So you have to think of it like growing your own organic garden inside of your body. And how you do that is eliminate all the things that are going to cause harm in your gut. And it's as simple as keeping your gut cleansed with an oxygen-based cleanser like Oxy Powder on a regular basis, and using a good probiotic supplement to keep those probiotic organisms working for you in your body and fighting off any of the negative bacterial organisms. A lot of people have an overgrowth of candida in their gut, a yeast, and they have worms or they have parasites. And all of those things attack the host mechanism when there's an imbalance in the system. And the medical practitioners do not address gut health, because they know that one of the easiest ways to repair health in the body and to boost the immune system, it's been shown that 70% of your immune system is in the gut. Your appendix rules your whole body. It tells your endocrine system what to do, your neurological system what to do. Fix the gut, fix the body. That's the solution.
And then they don't know that they have candida, they have worms, or they have mega parasites in their body. They just feel bloated all day. They can't digest their food. I mean, I've battled candida for a long time. Once you realize what it is, then you can go in and actually systematically affect the solution. But I think the key thing is that doctors now are realizing this. I mean, you've realized it for 30 years now. But I've gone to the mainstream doctors, and they're even saying, hey, you know, you might want to check if you have candida and all of this, because it's becoming so clear with these studies. The thing that I don't like about these studies is they act like it's some type of revolutionary new secret that your gut is actually important. Of course it's important. Of course gut flora is so essential. We've known that for thousands of years. That's why we treat the crops the way we do. We treat the soil the way we do. We just didn't know thousands of years ago that it was these little microorganisms that were fueling our body in every way and giving us energy and life. We just thought, you know, if we let the soil rest for a while and regrow its magical properties, then we can have better crops. We've known it for so long. Now the science just says, oh, that's phooey. And then, oh, actually, did you know probiotics are actually good for you? This revolutionary new study, it's hilarious. So how long have you been saying this before this was even come out in 2013?
Oh, well, I was studying manuscripts from ancient Egyptians, and you can look in any biblical text or any type of religious text, and they all talk about the importance of the gut, and that's why they would go on fast for a certain amount of time. Still, some cultures today fast one day a week on water. There's been studies that show that just one day out of the week, if you fast on water, supports probiotic growth, friendly probiotic growth in your bowel. But if you constantly kill all those bacteria off, look at the water supply, okay? The public water supply. It's got fluoride. It's got chlorine. It's got arsenic in it. It's got medications residue in it. Just drinking, going to a restaurant or going to a coffee shop and getting the latte that you want to drink every single day, the chemicals in that alone will kill off the gut bacteria.
Well, so, you know why they say sodium fluoride's good topically, which is not, is because it kills the bad bacteria in your teeth. Well, when you swallow it, what bacteria do you think it's killing in your gut? And then they have antibiotics in the water supply because everyone's on all these pills, and then you're drinking that all day long. So let's talk about solutions. Let's narrow down a few key solutions that you think are essential to reigniting gut flora. What are they?
Solutions is switch to an organic diet, number one. You want to reduce the amount of toxins that you're putting into your system on a regular basis. Solution number two, give up all the beverages that you put inside your system except for water. The body doesn't need anything else but water except for during the breastfeeding time when you're a baby and you breastfeed. After that, the only thing the body wants and needs is pure, clean water. And that doesn't mean tap water from the city. That means either distilled water or filtered water. Get a filter that filters out the fluoride.
And here's a tip too. Filtered water by FDA meanings doesn't mean anything. Purified water does.
Right, right. I recommend distilled water. And here's another tip. This is a tip number three, is use organic raw apple cider vinegar. It has bacteria in it already. It has live enzymes in it. Make sure it doesn't get heated. It has the mother in it. It's a very inexpensive way to help repair your gut with just water, good food. And the next thing is take good supplementation. You know, vitamin B, iodine helps repair the gut, oxy powder cleaning it out on a regular basis, providing excess oxygen into the gut tissue, taking good probiotic blends, the ones that are refrigerated that have at least 15 to 20 different probiotic blends in them. Take those on a regular basis. Eliminate the high fructose corn syrup that you're bringing in. That also has a negative effect on the gut bacteria. Looking at your whole lifestyle, you know, everybody's different. Everybody lives in different environments. If you can focus on your gut and nurture your gut as if you were growing your own plant or raising your own child and put that much love and energy into your gut, and then your gut will thank you for it. You're going to spend more money every time you're sick and gas going back and forth to the hospital, paying the doctor's bills. You know, now you have to worry about this whole Obamacare thing where you're going to be fined if you don't sign up on the system. Health care, like true health care, is really not that expensive. You could take a pinch of Himalayan crystal salt and get 84 different vitamins and nutrients out of that. A jar of organic apple cider vinegar that'll last you 2 or 3 months is only going to cost you $3. You know, just don't buy a pair of those shoes or something like that this month and start putting a little bit more love and energy into your own gut, and it'll thank you for it.
You know, everyone's always asking how to bolster their immune system, and specifically whether it's the flu or Ebola or whatever. Everyone's freaking out saying, how do I do it right now? What's the answer? It always comes down to gut health. So the main line of defense overall is to give your body what it needs. And in the case of probiotics, I think it's, and Dr. Group would agree, one of the most essential important things to start regrowing in your body. And what's fun to me is that you can do it naturally. You can go home and eat fermented foods, or you can just stop drinking garbage every day like Coca-Cola, or you can stop buying pesticide-ridden antibiotic, because that's what Roundup is. Monsanto's number one selling herbicide is actually an antibiotic by patent. Stop putting that into your body and recreate your system, and you'll notice your skin changes, your digestion changes. Every single thing about your body is going to change in a way that could be extremely drastic, and we've already gotten multiple people saying it's working for them. So I encourage you to take control of your own health, because the government is not going to show you how to do it. And your classically trained MD who gets 4 hours of nutrition classes and would be hard-pressed to even know what a probiotic is in many cases. Unfortunately, I know many of them who are good people, but it's true. So take control of your own health and look at the research, look at the connection, and stop letting the government-approved agriculture system make you insane.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.